10 a.m. on February 18th, 2020. I hereby call a meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors to order. And please join me if you'd like as we do the pledge of allegiance. Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everyone. First order of business is the adoption of our agenda for today. I entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Debbie?
Aye.
Horton?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Agenda is adopted. Next, public comment number one. Comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. If anybody is not otherwise reporting on the agenda, on the business today, if you want to make a comment, please move to the microphone. Seeing nobody moves to my phone, of course, public comment number one. We're going to do these reports. We have here with us Karen Ford of Mid Lake Society for the annual report. Good morning. Come to this microphone.
This one over here?
Yes. That'll be fine. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Karen Fort, as you can see. I am the Executive Director of the Legal Aid Society of Story County. We have an office just across the street. You are welcome to visit it anytime you want. What we do is we provide civil legal representation to Story County residents whose income is at or below 150% of the federal poverty guidelines for their family size. So for a family of four, that translates to about $39,300. That's the new guidelines, or below, or per year. We only take civil cases, so easier to describe what we don't do rather than what we do do. We don't take criminal cases, juvenile cases, or anything you can get a court-appointed counsel for. We don't sue people for money. You can get an attorney on a contingency fee basis for that. And we don't typically take cases in which there is some sort of other statutory mechanism for payment, like a probate case when somebody dies and leaves a will. We can't take those. We do have one exception, and that's Social Security disability cases. With two important distinctions, we don't discriminate between those good and bad cases. With very, very few exceptions, we take a Social Security disability case regardless of whether or not we believe the person will win. And that's a big difference. There's only one other attorney, I think, in Story County that even considers taking these cases. We often see a lot of people applying on mental illnesses because those are historically difficult to win. So we get those. We take those cases and we often win them, where we've got a good track record. We don't take a fee for services for those cases either, so we bill those to Story County or to our other funders as required. And we don't take a fee as part of their, if they are successful, we don't take a fee, we waive that fee. So they get 100% of their award if they win. Other cases we take, most of our cases are family law based, about 60%. We do civil protective orders. Those often are co-occur with a family law case. So if somebody has domestic violence, they want a civil protective order, and then they need a custody order or a divorce that goes along with that. We help with tenants that are facing evictions. We help with establishment of guardianships. We help with simple wills, powers of attorney, things like that. We have two staff attorneys. Me as the executive director, I do take a caseload along with those staff attorneys. We have one full-time office manager, a part-time receptionist, a work-study intern, and we have one office foster care. So our office is very small. And there's always work. Right now we're looking at, I know the report said about 4 to 6 weeks. Right now we're telling people about 10 weeks for services through our office. And that is because this time of year we end up with a lot of crisis cases. And crisis case is defined as somebody either having, like, you know, there's domestic violence or some sort of abuse involved. I will not make somebody wait on the wait list for that. If there's like a, if they're served with an original notice, they have a hearing coming up or a responsive pleading is needed, we don't put people on the wait list for that. So if they've been filed against, we don't put them on the wait list. We see an uptick of that around the holidays. So our wait list has grown because of that, because we're taking more crisis cases right now. We have, our clients really appreciate the service that they get. When you come into Story County Legal Aid, we're not associated with Iowa Legal Aid. So what you get is different from what you would get from Iowa Legal Aid. We don't further staff cases to figure out who among the people that have applied and qualified are sort of worthy of our help. Iowa Legal Aid is trying to cover a broader area, so they have to be a little bit more picky about what they take. And I understand that, and they do a lot of great work. But if people come into our office, they get what you would get at a traditional law office. And if you, if a person comes in and they meet income and residency requirements, it's the kind of case we take, and there's not a conflict of interest with us helping that person according to our ethics rules, they get to be to become a client in our office. We don't further restrict. We also don't get any federal funding. We are so grateful that we have such great local support. We are nearly entirely locally funded through ASSET. The other bigger grant that we get is through the Interest on Lawyer Trust Account grant. Other than that, for general funding, that's what we get. And that is on purpose, so we don't have to, for example, if somebody is not a citizen, we don't have to turn people away because they don't meet that criteria that Iowa Legal Aid has to have for federal funding. We have a few updates that I'm really excited to share with you. The first and our major update is that we have partnered with Good Neighbor to use their office space in Ames, which is really exciting for us. We are going on the first and third Tuesdays of each month, so we are going to be there this afternoon, actually. This has been in our strategic plan to try to get some Ames space for as long as I can remember, even before I was a director, because that's where most of our clientele is from. And there is a huge transportation barrier. We try to mitigate that with, we work with HRDA and give vouchers, we give gas cards, but it still tends to be a barrier. So we are really excited to offer those office hours. They're becoming popular, and people, as more and more people are becoming aware of it, we are seeing more and more people come in and to see us and apply and want those office hours to fill up that time. So that's great. The second thing we're doing is, I have to say, we're not associated with Iowa Legal Aid all the time, and I think part of that is that we have never really had a distinctive logo in our office. It's been clip art and just kind of random things, like Scales of Justice clip art, basically. And so we have employed Ripke Designs, and they offer nonprofit clients a discount to create the logo, and so we're working with them. I'm really excited about that. So we're in the process of developing a logo finally for this fiscal year, and hopefully we'll have something for you by the next time I report. Something that we're still doing, I said that we're taking cases up to 150% of the federal poverty guidelines. We used to be at 125%, but we noticed that our wait list was starting to dwindle down, and that gap between 100 and 125%, we just weren't getting very many people. And people that are about 150% or below still can't afford an attorney. So we experimentally raised that limit about a year and a half ago, and we're continuing to take those cases. That portion of people that fall in between 125 and 150% is about 12% of our cases, and we saw that last year too. So it's not increasing our wait list to an unmanageable level, and I think it increases access to justice for people that can't afford an attorney. So we're going to continue with that. And our caseload, as expected, is up from last year. We've had 180 cases so far this year, and last year we only worked on 205 cases. We had a maternity leave during that time, so that was expected, but it's nice to see the uptick in that it's actually, we're actually helping more people this year. So that's what I have for you. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer them.
What was that amount you got, the 39,300
or below. Yeah. Yeah, for a family of four. Yeah, not a single.
This might be a hard one to respond to just based on the differing cases that you have, but do you have kind of an average length of time, how long your cases are at for each family or individual that you work with?
You know, I do, but I don't have that statistic with me.
Okay.
And it really does. I don't know that that number would tell you anything.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it depends on the kind of case. If it's an eviction case, it's over in 2 weeks. If it's a divorce, we tell people 3 months to a year. And if it's a Social Security disability case, it's a long time.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
it could be a year and a half to 2 years before we get a final resolution on that, just depending on where they are in the process. I would have an average, but I'm not sure it tells
you. No, and your response there, that's helpful.
Yeah.
And then also you also mentioned how you've had an uptick in your caseload and that you've got a longer waiting list. It sounded like it was originally around 4 to 6 weeks, and it sounds like it's closer to 10 weeks. Is that,
yeah,
did I catch that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And that's not beyond the realm of a normal wait list for us. If it gets much beyond 10 to 12 weeks, that's when I go, oh, what's happening here? We need to figure something out.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm curious about possibility. You were talking about some eviction cases, but I'm really kind of zeroing in on if there have been mobile home lot eviction cases, et cetera. There's legislation down at the legislature right now to offer mobile home tenants some more protection, and I was just wondering how that might impact us up here. What do you have now?
You know, there was a certain mobile home park that I won't name out loud, but we all know what it was, that we really saw huge issues with. And since that mobile home park in particular has been shut down, I haven't seen as many mobile home evictions. There's a couple of mobile home parks that are just outside of Story County. I think they have Ames addresses, but that there's problems with. But you know, we only help Story County residents. But it concerns me when we saw the same kinds of issues happening over and over again at this particular mobile home park, and for years and years and years, and there wasn't anything our clients could really do about it, and we tried. So while I'm not seeing that problem necessarily rear its head right at the present time, I think if something doesn't change in the legislature to offer these people more protection, I fear that that can continue in other places.
So. I'm glad to hear that it's no longer at the front of what you guys are
trying.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I think what the legislature is responding to is out-of-state owners,
and
people that are buying up trailer
courts.
Right.
And, the rents go up.
But, and so my concern is if we would have turnover here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even on that particular piece of property.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
None. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we will go on to the consideration of minutes. I entertain a motion for approval of the February 11th, 2020 minutes.
I would so move that we approve them as presented.
Second.
Olson?
Aye.
Hedman?
Aye.
Bergen? Aye. Minister approves. Consideration of personnel actions. I would entertain a motion.
I move approval of the personnel actions as presented.
Second.
Hedman?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Bergen? Consideration of claims, and our energy motion for approval of the February claims.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye. Merchant. Aye. claims are approved. And the consent agenda, I am going to pull item 6 for discussion. Are there any other items anybody would want pulled?
No.
Okay. So let's discuss item 6. And
then, normally what we do is approve everything else, except for 6.
That's fine.
Any motion
to approve the consent agenda, except for item 6.
So moved.
Second.
Hidden.
Aye.
Holton.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. Consent agenda approved, except for item 6. Now we'll discuss item 6. The reason I wanted to pull that was it was really, we have a contract here for the housing study that the board approved, but we have not really talked yet about implementation in terms of staff or a committee to aid the consultants in implementation and to help guide them. And we did have a committee that reviewed their RFPs and made a recommendation to us. Consisted of Leanne Harder, Dan King, Carl Webb, Jerry Moore, and also assistants from Justin Ingram and John Hall with Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development. So we just wonder where the other supervisors are. Do you want us to have to ask the committee to continue to work with consultants on implementing the study?
I would be in favor of that. How that ends up sorting out, as far as how much time is put into that, will have to be kind of negotiated between the committee and RDG with any holdups or concerns that the committee has coming back to the board to let us, you know, kind of weigh in. We're the ones who are contracting for this. But I feel it was an excellent committee. It represented a variety of interests related to housing in Story County, and they would be, I think, a great committee to interact. Now, I do have a caveat on that there was at one point we discussed about who would be the steering committee to help with if there was a steering committee formed, you know, and Leanne, was there not in the RFP? Yes, there was in the RFP, so, RDG, to make some suggestions for steering committee. So I'd just like to make it very clear that the committee we're talking about today to interact with RDG has to do on the administrative side and possibly may provide some input related to study or policy, but that I have an expectation at least that RDG still works with our steering committee to form the actual committee that would be the advisors to RDG.
So just for clarification, the initial committee, are you saying that would also be the steering committee?
No.
There would be a separate one that would
right.
work with this original?
There would be a separate one made up of representatives from stakeholders. I know that we have some internal stakeholders that were on the selection committee, but I want to make sure that the actual committee that is formed to provide the primary assistance advice and feedback is in fact a broader committee.
Gotcha.
This committee, as I see it, our internal committee, Dustin, sorry, I think you're going to probably walk a line here somewhere. Okay, Dustin and John Hall, since they're more consultants, all right. But this committee would be more in giving advice to RDG about how to handle some of the administrative and back and forth communication.
So is it called the committee, for lack of a better term, the one we're just talking about now, the implementation committee?
I like that.
That's
a great one.
Would the implementation committee be in charge of pulling together the stakeholders?
I believe the implementation, in my mind, one of three, implementation committee would be in charge of submitting some names to RDG to discuss with RDG creation of the steering committee.
Steering committee, okay. So the implementation committee and RDG would collect the steering committee members. Yes. Okay.
Correct.
I wanted to make sure that they were empowered to do that and didn't have to come back to the side.
Okay, sure.
Okay. Any other thoughts
Yes, so in just in discussion with our other communities, I think there are individuals in those towns who are working on housing themselves. I think like Rita Connor, for instance, has expressed an interest in collaborating insofar as she's able, you know, with REG, if that's needed. And so for the steering committee, I absolutely think you should have that broader kind of look at your town, if that's all.
Thank you. Yeah. I do. Just to note that before, when we first started talking about the possibility of a study prior to this board, there were comments from, well, for example, Vanessa Baker Latimer and from Mark Jackson, both who sat on the original study from 1998. They said there were too many people on that steering committee. Just to make note, I pass along, I think there were 24 or 27, something like that. So why, you know, the people want to collaborate, maybe they're going to have to go to subgroups of comment or whatever. Just I'm passing that along for advice.
And maybe there's a piece where those visioning sessions that they talked about in the communities, that they play a role in facilitating that or bringing those people together, since they're really on the ground in each community. Just a thought. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Are you willing to serve on the
I am, absolutely. Yeah, okay. I'll help those you need. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
No.
And so I would entertain a motion to appoint
a new Leanne said it this way.
Oh, Leanne.
So she might have a thought.
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning. I guess I do have another basic question, wherein the general administrative project management lies, the doing the claims, the tracking, the budget, all that responsibility, to whom is, with where does that lie?
With you.
Okay.
Yeah, I see that as a really key role in fitting right into special projects and the leadership we've taken so far.
And somebody needs to be responsible for coordinating the implementation committee, and I was happy who would like to do that.
Okay.
If you're willing to do that.
Yep.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Anything else? No,
just one
more. I might be back.
Okay.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion to establish an implementation committee for the housing study. Leanne Carter, the coordinator, Alexander King, Carla Webb, Sherry Moore, Dustin Ingram, and John Hall.
I make that motion. Second.
Okay, any further discussion? Ms. Bolton?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Okay. Now we do need a motion to approve the contract with RDG.
I would so move that we approve the contract with RDG. Thank
second.
You, Sam.
No, second.
Okay.
Okay.
Discussion?
Thank you. Thank you, Sandra and Leanne, for working on this.
Bolton.
Aye.
Evan.
Aye.
Merchant. Aye. Yes, thank you. Pardon me. Okay. Next, we go to public hearing items. We have none. Going on to additional items, Jerry Moore is going to discuss the urban fringe plan. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, board.
Hi, good morning.
Okay, what you have before you is an item that started in the work program for the Planning and Development Department. We had a joint meeting with the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Supervisors in December, came up with several work program items, and this was one of them, to create a resolution, which is before you today, that addresses the board's support for the current Ames Urban Fringe Plan, your interest in extending this current plan, and your interest in working with our partners, the jurisdictions of Ames and Gilbert, in the future to amend this current plan. Also before you is a memo that provides some background about the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. It talks about the need for taking action now on the resolution. The current agreement, the 2080 agreement, expires July 11 of 2021. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is One of the major partners, the City of Ames, is currently going through a pretty extensive comprehensive planning process, which is keeping them very busy. Looking at their schedule, tentative schedule, it's to be completed sometime at the end of this spring. It might go into maybe early summer. So the idea is that we want to put together a resolution that talks about the interest and support for the current plan, interest in extending it and working with the two other jurisdictions to amend it. We also, in that memo, talk about some tentative review discussion dates, tentatively starting with the Planning and Zoning Commission in April. We thought it would be a good opportunity to go through the current plan. We've got a couple of new members on the Planning and Zoning Commission. We have a new member on the Board of Supervisors. Also attached to the Agenda Center was a letter that was prepared in March of 2019 that talks about the interest in the current plan, talks about key areas of interest to the board in amending and working with our partner jurisdictions. But the memo again talks about working, starting with the Planning and Zoning Commission in April, going through some of the key components of the current plan. It's important to understand the current plan before we can work on maybe making changes to the current plan. Talking about the letter that was approved that addresses the key components. Maybe go through strengths and weaknesses. We thought it would be beneficial to come to the Board of Supervisors and do the same thing. Talk about those key components. Maybe learn about the feedback from the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then bring everybody together probably in May for a joint meeting to talk about whether or not additional items would need to be added to that key components list. And again, the focus is eventually working with our partners to amend this plan. So got a request to take action on the resolution, a request to take action on a discussion schedule, and with that I'd be happy to answer questions. Before I stop, I want to thank Leanne. I met with her to try to get some background on the process that they went through to adopt their current plan. We've got some records, electronic, some paper records, but I learned from talking to Leanne that it was quite extensive. Started in 1999, 2000. This original document was approved in 2006, and then we didn't see a 28E agreement until 2011. So there was a lot involved in that process. So I want to thank her for her input that she provided.
Any questions of Jared?
None.
I am going to my understanding is that Boone County was originally envisioned as a partner in the Urban Fringe Plan, but they did not sign on to the 2080 agreement. They're mentioned in the plan. It's on our website, but they're not. Has anybody talked with Boone County lately about whether they would be interested in signing up?
Yeah, from a staff perspective, I don't know that there has been discussions with any staff at the at Boone County. But they were originally to be a part of this, but they were not a part of the 2080 agreement.
About the 2040 plan, and that there were the tier one, they were looking at developing all around Ames, but also picked up tier two, which was in the western area, pretty much in Boone County. So I might follow up with the supervisors there to see if they've been, might have some more interest.
So I'm just looking at the April 14th meeting, so I'll be bringing, I think there's some other people that probably need to now be to be added on and consulted, given that the annexations that have occurred with Ames. So I'll just say that. I think there's a couple other communities that need to at least be approached. But we can talk about that on April 14th and take it from there.
Okay. I don't have any questions at this time, no.
So you're asking both to approve the resolution and to approve the plan for the meeting?
The review schedule.
The review schedule.
Right.
Can you do that all?
Yeah, it can be one motion. As long as it includes the resolution and the review discussion schedule.
I've entertained a motion to approve resolution number 2064 and the review plan as Gary has described it.
I so move.
Second.
Any further discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Evans?
Aye.
Murphy? Aye.
Thank you, Boris.
Thank you very much.
Jerry, can Stephanie send out a calendar for the, at least for the two that...
Like an invite?
Yeah.
Sure.
Thanks.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Leanne Harder is back to talk about mission statement and core values.
Pretty exciting to be before the board with this agenda item. It's been a while in the making. I'm not going to say as long as the Ames River Fringe plan, but this was first identified, the need for this. Pardon me, developing a strategic plan was identified in the strategic plan, or a mission statement was identified in the strategic plan adopted by the Board of Supervisors. October of 2018 was before the board last spring to discuss this, and then last fall we contracted or worked with Ted Garnett, who's been doing some training for Story County, in early September to come forward with the approach. We kind of kicked that off last fall, had three different sessions. We had a vision casting, then we had a core values and mission workshop. Session three, we reached some consensus, so that was end of Ted's involvement. And then session four, I was really wordsmithing on the core values. So what I'm going to do is just quickly go over the mission statement and the core values. I do want to recognize that this was done by a planning team, and the membership is up there in one way or another, either through attendance at meetings or through representation of their department, representing their department with comments. These individuals did give forward an amount of time that really got us to the place we are right now. And those here, if you want to participate with me, you're more than welcome to come up. There's an empty chair next to me, and offer any comments. What I will also say is that last session was staff-led. So again, Ted was done with this contract, and it was a wordsmithing and check-in on core values. Through the process, too, we reached out to staff countywide and had a survey mechanism for them to decide which values or select which values were most important to them individually. And then that information was presented back to planning team members. Stop me with any questions at any time. So our mission statement that is being proposed for the board's adoption today that was developed through the planning team and process we followed was, it states, engaging our diverse communities to responsibly provide quality opportunities and services that matter. And then along with the mission statement, there are seven core values: accountability, collaboration, environment, equity, inclusivity, innovation, and wise use of resources. So each of those has a statement that accompanies it, and each starts with "we will." So something towards which we strive as core value. So in accountability, we will be honest and transparent while holding ourselves to higher standards. collaboration. We will work together with all citizens, entities, and agencies to provide the best government possible. Environment. We will nourish a welcoming, encouraging environment for people to thrive in, while also preserving our natural environment and working towards a sustainable future. Equity. We will treat everyone respectfully and courteously with fair opportunity and outcomes for all. Inclusivity. We will seek participation, welcome differences, and ensure perspectives are heard. Innovation. We will embrace positive change while continuously pursuing new horizons and creative solutions. And then last, wise use of resources. We will efficiently and effectively manage our county's resources. So in summary, I'm going to go back to this slide with all the core values and mission statement. That is language that was developed through the process. So the action today by the board is to, the intended action from the board is to accept the mission statement and core values. And then we do need to talk about the next steps. How does this get implemented? All that kind of good stuff. We have not, I've had our intern working on some branding. Unfortunately, she's been very ill the past 3 weeks, 2 weeks. We're not there yet that I can present it, but that would be a logical next step. It does not look like this, but kind of that circular approach where the mission statement's in the middle and then the core values surrounding it. Are there any questions?
I don't have a question. I just have a comment. I thought the process, it was a very good process of discussion. Not only the people that were a part of the conversation, but the reminder that the discussion was to make sure that you're representing people who were not there. That was, I think, pretty ingrained in all of us to think not just of our own departments or the people around the table, but who were not around the table.
I agree with that. Well put. I do have one item for thought here. Okay, question. So down to innovation. We will embrace positive change. And positive has caught me up here. Because positive is a very subjective word. Not that there aren't other words in here that could be interpreted by different ways. In fact, I think Ted, who led the sessions, did a really great job of bringing up that this is an opportunity if people have questions about what this means is to engage in dialogue. Okay? But the one that just stopped me up short is positive change. Because who determines what's positive? So would it be better to say we will embrace change? It's under innovation. While continuously pursuing new horizons and creative solutions.
So I'll join Leanne up here for this one. This was something that the committee discussed a lot, and the attitude was if we just say we will embrace change, it just means that we're embracing change for change's sake. And we wanted to specifically say that things that work well as they are, we aren't going to force changes to those things. We want to embrace improvements and things that make things better. And that's why we put the word positive in there. It was a discussion during the committee meeting.
So what happens if down the road the legislature does something that requires a massive reorganization of something? Or economic times happen, or different elected officials come in and have different ideas about how to do things, and they change things. There's all kinds of things that can happen that staff may not view positively, but are realities. Will you not embrace them?
I think our attitude was that's not necessarily innovation. That's a mandate. We're going to proactively go out and innovate to do better as a county. If the state legislature tells us we have to do something, we will do it. But that's not our core value. Our core value in that case would be something like embracing Iowa code change. which is kind of inherent to the county that we do have to follow Iowa code changes. Well, this is more of our general attitude as a county is that we're going to go out and we're going to look for ways to do things better. We're going to innovate. If someone comes in and wants to make changes that are mandated changes, that's fine. We just don't look at that as like a core value of the attitude we want in our employees.
Okay. I would also add to your comment there, Ted, is that is not something that you necessarily have control over.
Mm-hmm.
Where the innovation you're thinking of at the county level, you have more of the control here versus being directed what you need to do.
Thank you. Sounds good. I mean, that's a good response.
My only comment is I'm always wondering if the word toward or towards in innovation.
Environment.
What's working towards and why is Google towards and keeps changing the towards? So I think the S comes off. Okay.
And I did want to, on the mission statement, Brett McLean from Veterans Affairs did email myself and Sandra King that he had recommended Wordsmith. So I did forward on to Linda. I just wanted to share. I have some concerns because this has been reached through consensus through the planning team, but I do want to share so that you have that full opportunity to hear from Brett. I'm going to read as he proposes. Engaging our diverse communities to responsibly provide quality opportunities and customer services that matters. So adding customer before services and then an S as matters. Which I think adding customer does take away from the more general approach, and it does take away from the process as well.
I think we should honor the community's work on that. There's, I think, things I would change as well, but as Ted just pointed out, we talked about the funds, there was a reason that was in there, and I think from what I heard in all of the discussions, there was a reason every word was in there. So I feel that we should honor the work that was done, other than the grammatical change.
I would concur.
Yeah, I'm fine. I got a what I thought was an excellent response on my question.
And I will reply to Brett with that, too. I did tell him I would share his proposed change today.
I was also, like Lisa said, very impressed with the process, impressed with Ted, but also impressed with the employees and the diverse departments that were represented and the attitude with how people came in to create a common vision, common mission statement that mattered. And that was something to achieve, wasn't just kind of a status quo.
Then I would let's entertain a motion to approve the mission statement for values that's presented with the United States.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Seven.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. Approved. Now, Leanne, you asked for direction to staff. What do you have in mind?
Well, definitely today at the elected officials and department head meeting, I will share that this was considered and adopted by the board today. But beyond that, in March, I intend to come back with some branding, just simple, so that we have an opportunity to get the message out both internally and externally. Internally, it would be county news and our intranet page. External, our story, the internet, social media, press releases, the recruitment video, other opportunities as they're identified. So I'll have a plan of attack for that. But then at some point, the board needs to discuss how it's implemented throughout the county. beyond just the branding, what that implementation deployment looks like. And that's probably outside of my area. And I don't know if you want to have that discussion today or wait till I come back with, I'm calling it branding. I'm not sure what else to call it. The marketing aspect of it.
Promotion of it.
Promotion and release, but not the full deployment implementation.
Will we have time if the department heads and director officers to some meeting this afternoon to get some, maybe just have a little brief discussion to start that out?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd like to start rather than start with the ideas of the two supervisors.
Okay.
I'd like to hear what the
department
heads what they're thinking about.
I will build that into my points for discussion this afternoon.
Who wants to star in Ted's video that he was talking about at one point? Ted R internally, as opposed to Ted, the facilitator.
Is there anything else to add up in
that statement? I do want to thank the board for embracing this and marching forward with it. As a long-standing employee, I do appreciate that for Story County.
Well, I appreciate your leadership and all the Commonwealth staff who were involved, and I think we need to realize that this is the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the end, because the mission statement isn't any good unless you really say how does it impact what we're doing on a daily basis. That's the part I'm really looking forward to. Thank you for getting it off to a great start. Okay. Next, you have consideration of participating in the 2020 AIMS Day of the Cat.
It's that time again.
Mm-hmm.
3 years now, with 1 year we signed up to do it, but the entire AIMS Day of the Capitol was canceled. AIMS Chamber has AIMS Day of the Capitol. Story County has had a booth in the past years. I think our first year we didn't have to pay a sponsorship, but we also weren't even within the rotunda. We were way off to the side. Sponsorships are $700 for a day sponsorship or $300 for a booth sponsorship. So I'm before you this morning to see if you do indeed want to participate in AIMS Day of the Capitol again in 2020. It is scheduled for Tuesday, March 17th. So it would be conflict with the Board of Supervisors meeting, but staff, I've not made any reservations yet, so I can make sure I can be down there and cover it. But we do want to get in here and get some direction today so that we can start the promotional materials as well.
Can you just tell me what the difference is between a day sponsorship and a booth sponsorship?
I think it's how your name is incorporated. Dustin, is that correct? That means either you're
a sponsor of the entire event versus
mm-hmm.
just having a booth. Got you.
Yes.
Got you. Okay.
Our logo won't appear on things.
Gotcha.
Lisa,
mm-hmm.
you've attended a few of these over the years. Okay. So what is your feeling and impression about it as a legislator?
Well, it is good visibility. It gives people an opportunity to talk with their legislators. I know how AIMS presents it more of a thank you to legislators. Which is kind of nice. They don't get thanked real often, so it's kind of nice to have that. I also say is I checked with ISAC, and they are not having an ISAC day at the Capitol this year. No, they've had it in past in conjunction with a conference or something, and they're not doing that this year. So this would really be kind of the only avenue for the county to have some presence. So that may be an additional reason why to be down there this year.
So I've been to the two we did have that, well, since I've been on the board, and I found it useful. And yes, we talked to a couple of our legislators, but I also went from booth to booth of the other participants from Story County that day and got an excellent opportunity to have discussions with some engineers who were involved in bioengineering and different companies and what was going on with them. Iowa State usually has at least one, if not two, different booths, if you will, or tables. So I really feel that it is worth our money to participate. The reason I asked you was whether we should go for the sponsorship level, where it's unbudgeted, or we go with the booth. I definitely think we need the booth. It's whether it's worth it to take that extra step in helping us promote ourselves out of the Capitol.
And if we do the $700 level, I think we still have a booth space.
Right.
Right. I don't think I clarified that.
So we're paying, the extra $400 is paying for more prominent position in some of the promotional material.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be comfortable with a $300 level.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with that, too. I'm just trying to think from the past years where their booths have been. They've usually been right in the rotunda, mm-hmm. and I think their booths have been just right down the aisle,
mm-hmm.
You know, generally either heading to the north or south side there. So folks would see them. And you'd have your name on the booth.
Our first year, we were right as you got off the elevator, and it was not a very good space for us to be present. And then last year and 2 years ago, we were on the within the rotunda space, but on the west side, across from the governor's.
Mm-hmm.
But on the house side.
That's where I've seen them set up. Most things the last few years has been on that west side. There's more room.
And then the food is right within the rotunda now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it usually goes right down on the, I got to get my directions, I think down the south.
Mm-hmm.
The South Avenue. I just wish I had better clarification for sure as to the true difference between the $700 and the $300.
Do you remember what we've done in previous years, Leanne?
We've done $300.
The $300?
Yeah. I can look. I can read the...
I mean, if we've done $300 in the past, that would probably be just fine.
Especially, we've kind of taken the position down the line, and as we've been doing the budget workshops this year, et cetera,
right.
that,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it's unbudgeted, we try to keep it
right.
more restrained, whether
exactly.
it be for the hurt of business.
Well, and it's also taxpayer funds, so what are
right.
we getting for the
mm-hmm.
extra for? And I would ask you, Leanne, maybe to bring back the whatever written materials were printed. This year, so we can see maybe if that's the difference
for future wise.
I can read it too.
Okay.
So the $700 level will receive display booth and Capitol Rotunda, where you can engage attendees and inform them of your organization, as well as network with approximately 500 individuals, afforded an opportunity to interact with and thank attending state senators and House members. Your company name will be listed as an AIMS Day at the Capitol sponsor on all promotional materials related to the event for the entire year. Will appear in the AIMS Business Monthly promotional materials. Will be recognized in all chamber weekly updates leading up to the event, and also appear in the legislative update. The name and designation will also appear on all printed materials distributed the day of the event. The booth sponsors receive a display booth, same opportunity to engage and discuss with people in attendance, and also be included in two chamber weekly updates leading up to the event, appear in legislative update both the week before and week of the event, and be listed as a booth sponsor in the Ames Business Monthly.
So we're
still getting that.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with the $300.
I have one question. I may have to look at Dustin for this if it doesn't stay there. But Dustin, AIMS at the Capitol, are there going to be meetings in the morning and the afternoon also?
I have to clarify that with Drew.
Okay. And why I'm asking is whether we have to pay to be included. In the past, we've not had the pay to be included. I think I've gone twice as the representative from the county, at least, and then I think 1 year there were all three of us down there. And so I just want to make sure we're not being eliminated from an opportunity, because last year we met with the governor, had an opportunity to meet with the governor and weigh in. We met with the leader of the House, leader of the Senate. Yeah, it was Rob Hall. So anyway, I just want to make sure that that's not in, that we're prevented from that. Apparently, I don't think we have that in the past, with only paying the booth sponsorship as elected officials.
So I'll go back to the office and clarify with Drew today and get back to you.
Okay. I'm happy to make the motion. Or Lisa, do you want to make it for the 300?
Yeah, I'll make the motion that we, the county that we participate in, inked at the Capitol at the $300 sponsor level.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? If not, Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Thank you. And
we'd still like to answer.
Yeah, so if you'd let us know. Department reports, I neglected to state at the beginning that Joe Blaker is not able to be here today, so we'll have to reschedule him to another meeting. And other reports, we have one thing which I placed on the agenda, which was discussion of budget process. And this is something that after going to our last budget session, supervisors did just say, okay, we're done with the budget. And then what seems to happen sometimes is other requests come in, not internal, but external requests. So what we've been talking about is trying to put together a process whereby asks that we know are going to come and are kind of annual asks, that instead of saying, oh, come to us whenever you want to, we're going to ask certain entities, come to us in the fall, give us a proposal at that point, and then we will have that information so when we put together our budget process for the subsequent fiscal year, we can incorporate that in rather than amending the budget later or trying to find money later. Now, I think we've got a lot of programs that we do fund that we'll probably want to look at and say, is that how we want to do everything? And I think that, and I just kind of like to ask the other supervisors if, because I think we're going to need some staff assistance on this to figure out how current funding fits into a calendar year in a different way.
So I thought this was going to be a little different discussion, but that's okay. Chippy. All right. Okay. So about the fact that we might look at setting a date similar to the city of Ames, which I like the way that they do that for mm-hmm. community type requests, to say, hey, if you think you want to ask for money next year, because you're an organization or community type and you're not funded through access, then let's have a deadline there. I like that. The things I think that do need to be excluded from it, though, as I thought more about this, is an example is the facade grant. It's on my mind because it was just in the paper in the last week or 2 weeks that the city of Ames is asking for, announcing their deadline for facade grants. When the facade grant program originally started, there was a deadline and everybody had to apply at the same time. The problem is especially out in the smaller communities, it's not known in advance at one point in the year when somebody might decide to want to buy a building on Main Street in Zeering, okay, or a grant comes through, and therefore all of a sudden they've got an opportunity to move their ambulance bay onto Main Street, and they don't know that at that time. And that's why previous boards who set the current policy for the facade grants said, okay, they're going to be as they need to be as they come. Okay, so there's an example of where I think we'd be hurting a program.
Is it also a fact that we don't guarantee we're going to have money every year for the facade grants?
Correct. We put in the placeholder amount of $10,000 every year, and then the statement is you have to come to us one by one. There's kind of a limit at how much we would want give as a match, and so some years we end up going a little over that. Another one would be similar program would be possibly if there were a special request from a community to help with a economic development project that was not even known about at the time we do our normal economic development. I mean, clearly with the ones that go into the urban renewal areas, or they're being used by TIF money, that needs to hold on a guideline, or you know, set period of time. There also are, the pool funds are now called per capita funds. Okay, the per capita funds and then the project funds, the two of those. Those happen on a regular, and I believe those all need to stay separate. So I think what we're talking about then next would be for those items like, I know this is not on the table necessarily anymore, Micah, the dental clinic, but I mentioned at our last budgeting session that now Emergency Residence Project, Jody Stumble believes that they will be up by this summer for a supported, permit-supported housing pilot program. And I'm positive she's coming to the county. She wouldn't have known if we only did this once a year, and so that one is, do we want to eliminate an ask like that? There are other asks that are predictable, though. They are annual asks, and that would be whether it be Iowa Games. That's the one that keeps on coming back, and I just feel that we should give other groups like Special Olympics, et cetera, the same opportunity at the same time to ask.
Fine. And I think one that came up just recently is the Fair Board.
Oh, Fair Board?
And yeah. So I think before we start talking about specifics and specific entities and groups, maybe we should talk about types of criteria. In other words, that we would look at it. Is this a group we say is something we do even though it's not county government? We fund it every year, and our expectation is we would continue to fund it. You know, that's a criteria. Then whoever falls into that, maybe we put into a fall program. If we have things that we say we will fund that if the thing we would fund if we have monies left over, you know, near the end of the year, we would not put that at the beginning. You know, we might say we decide and February, whether we had money for a certain program. What I'm seeing is predictability, trying to get some predictability.
I'm just trying to figure out how does that differ from what we're currently doing.
Right.
If we're trying to get some more predictability, then the thought is, well, then you want to have some sort of deadline for them to apply for. Are we tied to a deadline of just once? I mean, could there be...
I know it depends. If you want it built into the budget potentially,
I think there's always that opportunity to, with whatever criteria you want to have, to say, I don't want to say necessarily subject to change, but there's some discretion. As you said, something out of the ordinary comes up, and a August time frame is when they need to know versus an October to build it. You know, you've got to have a little bit of latitude on that. It's not a guarantee, but I do agree. We want to get to something that could be a little bit more predictable to the extent that we can.
Okay, I guess I view the Fair Board very differently than I view, and I'm going to go to Iowa Games, okay, it's a county 4-H fair. Has there ever been a time when the county has not helped pay and fund for it? And having a line item in with that and the expectation, I mean, the Fair Board wants to come in and ask, could we have continued support? But so are you two viewing the Fair Board as that we're likely to fund it, but we don't know how much money. Where I do view the ask for an Iowa Games or from a RAGBRAI, okay, ask or whatever, that's what I view going into this pot of money in advance. I
think I'm kind of thinking of two tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Fair Board, just as an example, something that we would move forward and continually fund?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something we just need to build in? And then you have that separate track of these other entities that are not a yearly thing, but they are more of a special thing that they would apply for.
Yeah, and that's where
and we build in
the Fair Board. It's its own line in our budget.
Historical Society.
Yeah. Right. Now, libraries, are we not obligated to give something to the libraries legally? I'm asking anybody. I look at Lisa, but for some reason I thought...
Well, we have to pay from the rural fund. I don't think we're obligated to pay. Yes, we are.
Thank you. Okay. So
we don't fund the library.
Yeah, we don't fund the library.
Yeah, and I think what we're asking from like the Fair Board is for them to come to us earlier
mm-hmm.
with some of their budget concerns so that we can look at it as we are doing our budget.
And if
we want to do that.
Things like historical societies and libraries couldn't do the same.
Couldn't bring us, you know, couldn't come to us in the fall. Lisa, yeah, when she...
I was under the impression from sitting in with the Fair Board the other day that the Fair Board was merely giving you an update of what, where the funds are going.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see that as an additional ask.
Mm-hmm.
The way the Fair Boards and historical societies, for two examples, the libraries, have worked as long as I've been here is the board of supervisors makes a determination whether there's going to be an increase in the funding from the current year when we put the budget together.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's not a extra ask, a special request, anything like that. It's this is the level of funding the county will provide, and we'd like to bump it or leave it or whatever the case may be. So when the Fair Board comes to you, when the historical societies come to you, when the libraries come to you, they're coming and saying, here, this is where we spent these dollars. This is how we use the county funding. Thank you. That's how I read it.
You see that they're reporting.
Yes.
And back a few years when the community building was, when they were raising money for the community building, that was a separate special ask. Yeah, from what
they came,
were
yeah, they came like three times in different presentations asking for special or additional slash special funding because they were trying to hit a fundraising goal and they wanted to know if the board would submit or would spend additional dollars to help them.
So that would fit into your two track, right? So we asked the Fair Board to come earlier, and if they would have a special request, could come, you know, in that same, let's say, that, you know, like part of the roof for the swine barn. Is that okay?
Well, I kind of look at it too as if, for example, like the Fair Board came to us earlier, it might help with our determination as to what allocation amount we want to give them. Not necessarily would there be a separate special request, but we'd have. Okay, this is what we've decided what we want to give to them based on what they're doing versus kind of after the fact. I'd have that little bit more information ahead of time and stuff.
And they said they would be able to do that as an example because their fiscal year runs October is the start of a new one.
Okay. Yeah, I think this year they're running.
Right. So the so having the other groups like the special ask, that are not necessarily, well, once again, historical, we are going to be on there. Libraries have to be on there at some level.
Right.
So to have them come earlier, which is fine. Didn't we have those meetings in October? No, I guess it was November, December. Ask them to come earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the other groups who would be asking for money that aren't part of a regular type of program. Is that what I'm hearing you say? That was my thought.
Yeah, that's what I would be thinking of, folks that aren't necessarily part of a regular program.
So, Linda, do you have a different concept of what is a special ask versus a pretty much we know we're going to fund at some level?
I'm not sure because I haven't looked at everything. I'd like to start out just with a list of everything we're funding that doesn't go right now, doesn't get front-loaded in to our county budget process, and look at each one of those and say, you know, and maybe there's actually three. Maybe there's some that we fold into the budget process in the fall. Maybe there is a second group, which is this is something we will fund, but we want to do it near the end of the fiscal year if we have money. And then the other might be we understand these asks may come any time because needs arise at any time.
I think we're already folding in what we know we're going to fund pretty much, right? I mean, they have separate line items. We could get a little more specific on, say, economic development and create a little more, a few more numbers for Lisa by instead of just saying $110,000 in, you know, for coming out for economic development there, and then we know that $42.50 goes toward payment of one contract. We could split that contract out, but I mean, we're all front loading those. The dollar amount is what we talk about during workshops. So you want to know who we're not front loading. We're not front loading Iowa Games. We're not front loading RAGBRAI, the request for the tourism. And we actually were kind of front loading a little bit of them, but we decided that we're getting out of that. So that's where I'm starting to feel, interpret, is that you're finding you're thinking something like the Fair Board is an undetermined ask, rather than just the dollar amount of it. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out where those front loads would be, or where, what wouldn't be a front load among those categories.
I don't know. What I would like to do is I did get a copy of what the City of Ames right. uses their fall grant program. You know, I'd like to see if we get some staff who are involved with these things, Lisa, Leanne, and possibly Lisa and Sandra also just looking at that and saying, are there some opportunities for the county to set up something like that? And it's, again, I'm just into predictability of asks rather than you know, so we're really planning a budget mm-hmm. rather than, you know, planning a budget some time of the year rather than just throwing things in all the time. And yeah, some of them won't fit into a nice, neat pattern, but I think there's some that could. If we would just make it known that we'd like to see your request at this time of the year.
Okay, so may I ask for further clarification? Let's take the ERP, okay, that I believe is, I know is coming our way. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you consider a special ask or a pilot project? Do you see any difference between them?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
They're both one-time money.
They're both one-time money. It would flow over to asset probably if it went on, whereas separate. Okay, mm-hmm. All right. So what I thought, this being a little bit different today, I wrote down here with discussion of budget process, I thought you meant headed right in here to March. Okay. So I said, would we consider adding a budget line for, like, just saying $100,000 as a marker, and the $100,000 I got from all those things I'd added up before on my list of I think is coming our way, and just say for pilot projects or it'd be a placeholder for unknown requests. That's what I thought you were asking. If
it
was
no, it wasn't. It was
right.
Because, and it does really follow up on a conversation you and I started the other day,
sure.
And you said, oh, Ames has a fall grant program.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, we should really talk about this at the board table, so that's why I put it on for discussion.
Yes.
And we don't have an action item here
right.
in any way.
Right.
We just have a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I brought it here, so we could discuss, was there a possibility of just working to formalize some of our budget process a little bit more?
Sure.
I think it would be a good idea to have, like you said, maybe Lisa, Leanne, and Sandra, and Luther, and whomever, to kind of take a look at what Ames does to see if it is something reasonable to implement at the county level.
Or not
to give us some feedback. Yeah, to give us some feedback is how could we potentially structure
mm-hmm.
something like this to implement here what would be kind of a time frame that sounds reasonable? Is October the right time, or is July, or you know, or September? I don't know and stuff. So I think in some respects I think we're getting a little too far into the weeds, and we just need just some general information of is there something we could do, and then potentially some direction on how we can move forward to develop and implement.
So, so the request of staff in pulling together a list for us, would that be for anything that we are not mandated by law, or you know, or in the provision directly of a community service? I mean, I'm just asking for the parameter to ask the staff that for give us that list. How long do you want that list to be? We're not mandated by law to do economic development. And so you'd ask about projects, and like I mentioned, the facade. So do you want that all included in that list? Do you want included also in the list then the historical society, and to include it in the list then would the libraries be? I mean, we're mandated in some fashion. They could check out exactly how we're mandated. That's all I'm asking now. So what? How broad do you want that list to be, or is it, do they only go back and take a look at those real special requests that came from, like, community groups, a community grant, as opposed to, I guess, you know, historically we've separated out economic development and grants are separate.
Here's a definition. Let me read it and see what you think. All the things we are currently funding or have recently funded that are not county operations. Does that work?
I guess we're looking at you, Lisa.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Can we try it? At least in some direction?
That gives us the direction to start with, and I mean, move down whatever path we go after that, as far as what we find from.
Yeah, and we're just asking, I guess, what I'm asking, what I'm envisioning is get together, think about that, discuss it, come up with a list, and maybe just from what we've talked about, you know, what are these things can we kind of front load into the budget? Makes sense, or what things do we have to deal with differently, and get them really sorted out. And it might not look a lot different when we end up than what we're doing now, but I think there will be some difference, and I think we'll know why we're doing things at certain times. And maybe I'm still talking as a fairly new board member, but sometimes I get a little confused about, now, why are we doing this way? So I think it doesn't hurt to take a look at it.
So worth the discussion. I am concerned that we don't lock ourselves into bureaucracy on this, you know, flexibility when we're all done on it. But it is worth a discussion so that everybody does know. And I guess, you know, it will be very helpful to have some experienced staff pull this together. I know I've sat in the audience for a lot of years, so maybe some of this I just picked up about why something's done when it's been done the way it was.
Well, and I think that's why I said, is this something that would work for the county level?
Yeah.
And until we have, in my mind, a little bit clearer picture as to what are some of the additional requests that we get, how often are we getting them,
right.
To know, is this something that we were committed to, we want to kind of fold in, or not? Do we need to have a different processing for that?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not tying ourselves to saying, yes, we're going to do this direction or not.
I understand.
We just want the information
and
right now.
And I know who brought it up. AIMS has this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see whether it's useful or not.
Let's take a further look at it, and so we can determine, is this an avenue we want to go, or maybe it's not an avenue we want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Lisa Markley, would you be willing to head this up?
Certainly.
Okay. And then Leanne Harder, Sandra King, and Alyssa Wignall, would you also be willing to at least have a meeting or two and look at this? And
okay.
I will send you folks then the document we got from Ames, their grant program, and maybe just sum this up a little bit in an email. And appreciate your willingness to look at it. Thank you very much.
So I have a question then related to headed in the next, the budget processes in the next couple of weeks. Okay. So do we want to, I mentioned the one about just a placeholder, but then we know there's probably a couple of immediate requests coming before the end of the year. We're just going to, you want to just still handle those as just separate requests, and we're not going to do anything unless we have to amend the budget later on, et cetera. You don't want to kind of move those ahead prior to the budget hearing. I'm asking, like the possibility of money outside of asset for the volunteer.
We don't. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm just asking if we want to ask.
No. Did you say something?
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I thought you made a comment, and I was going to say I didn't hear anything. I'm fine with just leaving it where it's at for right now.
Okay.
And then kind of keeping this other program kind of separate, and then just doing what we're doing right at the moment.
We don't have a new process right now. Our process is if somebody sends us a request, we'll look at it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know how we do anything differently.
Okay. So then my next question is, we do have an extra hearing, the March 3rd hearing. And in the past, what Lisa Markley has put together a great presentation for the budget hearing, and it has pie charts in it and et cetera, graphs, and kind of explains how the tax revenue is split out, the tax collections, the tax bill, et cetera. So my question is, since we now have an extra hearing, if you will, the March 3rd has to be published, that we had to publish, would we want to move that up and have Lisa's presentation at the same time as the assessors coming in?
Have a seat.
Yes,
so,
I do.
So the public hearing, that the additional new public hearing, is merely to, in my mind, saying these are going to be the tax asking for the general and the rural. Okay. The actual detail, what you vote for at that point to send forward, is the detailed proposed budget. So I had not given any thought to giving an additional presentation on March 3rd, because that one is merely saying move forward to this budget, in my mind.
So what do you think about if we moved your detailed presentation to March 3rd to give people more time to think about it before the 24th?
That's the board's vote.
The board's in. But yours also, I mean, you know, just from my thought about why it would serve the public better is if the more time that information from Lisa's detailed presentation is out there, the more time that the public has to think about what's there. But we're not historically well attended at our budget hearing on March, you know, that would be at 10 a.m. So it's just a thought related to, would we be providing the opportunity for more members of the public to think about it instead of just seeing it the Friday before when it comes out on the agenda? That's what I'm throwing out here.
And in all fairness, I typically have all the budget information out on the website. At least my plan has always been before the new publication.
Mm-hmm.
On March 3rd, when you vote whether to go forward with the increase in taxes, I would get the handout information, detailed information, ready and have it on the website within a few days.
Okay.
So it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Now the presentation that I give to the board on public hearing day at the end of March is going to be more graphed and more things.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that's not going to be out on the website as early.
Okay. Food for thought. We can also promote on March 3rd more information being out there, and Lisa can give us an estimate when the graph, et cetera, would be out. So, just I was thinking about customer service.
Okay.
Okay.
So what I'm hearing is the stuff doesn't go on the website. The details and the graphs and all that doesn't go on the Friday before.
But it here goes earlier.
It goes earlier, and we can publicize that information is available. And I'd already kind of had some plans to be talking to somebody about the county budget and try to get a newspaper article on it. So we can time that together. We can make sure that the information is available and people know it.
Okay. Thank you. Those were my notes based on what I thought this discussion would be.
Okay. Anything else on budget process then?
No.
Okay. We'll head on to upcoming agenda items.
We don't have anything at this time.
Just the possible separate ask for the volunteer center is the only thing I can think of.
You can
try to get on.
Okay. I don't have anything. Then I will open public forum number 2, and that is for members of the public to comment on any items that were not on today's agenda. And Dustin, you look like you'd like to.
If I could clarify the questions from earlier.
Do you want to come up to the microphone?
I want to do this on the record since it was talked about during the meeting. So aside from the $300 exhibit fee between 11:30 and 1 at Ames State of the Capitol, there are no other fees to meet with leadership. In terms of the timing for that, it's not going to be both. It's not going to be morning and afternoon. It'll be one or the other, and Drew's currently in conversation to settle that. So
okay, thank you.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you for checking that.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
Thank
so
you.
We don't need to change our action. It doesn't sound like. That's great. Any other members of the public who would like to make a comment, please come to the microphone. Seeing nobody else come to the microphone, I will close public forum number 2. And I will ask the other supervisors to comment on their liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and any other announcements.
Laura, I'll let you go ahead and go first. Okay. So this afternoon, we have the elected officials and department heads meeting at 2 o'clock. That means I will not be attending the Story County Housing Trust Fund meeting at 2 p.m. today. There are some discussion items related to filing of reports with the state, et cetera, that will be occurring that day, but I'll let you know. I'll check in with people later. I have SIRHA by telephone tonight, and then I'm going to try to at least watch the city council workshop on housing on the internet if I don't get down there personally. That starts at 6 o'clock also. Have not figured out how to put me in two places at one time. On Wednesday, there is an open house for the public to discuss the Nevada Rec Center, so I'm planning on attending that in the evening. It's 5 to 7 p.m., but just to kind of figure out where they are on that, will be one of those unanticipated or unbudgeted special asks. Thursday, I'm in drug recognition training, the Hunger Collaboration. Friday, I have the AADC board meeting, and then on my schedule is the Courthouse Security Committee. I'm looking back at Joby, who attends that also. Joby, do you have that on your schedule?
You look real quick.
Thank you. As I move ahead, it's just Todd's nodding. Good. Todd goes too. Just to make sure, it's been on there for a while, so I just want to make sure that we were on time. So I attended the Story County Farm Bureau meeting, board meeting on Thursday evening, and every year they invite supervisor or the board of supervisors, the sheriff, the auditor, the assistant auditor to attend, and the county engineer. And they have questions about what's going on with projects, et cetera, at that time. So I did take out copies of our annual report. The discussion that we focused on, there were some questions on Drainage District 5, so we had kind of a spirited discussion about that. The other thing that I let them know about that to watch and coming up for was for the septic ordinance. That's going to impact probably their membership, many of them. And also the sheriff had brought up about requesting additional deputies. So I just mentioned, you know, kind of what was we were looking at in the budget that was published, that was going to publication, about the 4 positions there. So they did, I know you guys are going next month. They have requested actually that you split into 2 separate months.
that one of you go in March and one go in April. It was just said to me that, well, we like to have you one at a time. So I don't know, probably in the past, I remember first year all three of us went together. I mean, my first year on the board, so on that. Okay. About the HRDA, I went to a meeting where we discussed, the executive committee discussed financial situation with HRDA. We are going to be cutting back in what we're doing in Dallas. That most likely might be only trips in the city of Perry, possibly the city of Waukee. They'll be ending all rural. It looks like the board, we're going to vote next week to end rural service in Warren County until we get some support for that.
Dallas County.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now, in Story County even, there are some predicted combinations of service that will be occurring. There are some single-person trips that are happening that it is, the bus is going to Zeering or to down to, say, Cambridge or Slater once a day or several times a week, and there's only one person on it, and it's occurring during the key times when people are also trying to get to work and they're also trying to get to other appointments. And so there's going to be some rescheduling of some non-essential trips for people who are the outlying areas, and we're going to be asking them, could you please ride instead later for the day? At later in the day, and maybe scheduled before you come back, before you hit that peak travel time. So don't be surprised if you get some phone calls. You know, as we discuss this, there have been some, we've been saying yes to some customers for a long time, and I'll give you an example. A person who would not ride with clients from Main Street, said didn't want to ride with those people. And the schedulers have been accommodating that. That type of request is not going to be accommodated anymore. Sorry, we've got a bus going at this time in that basic direction. We can pick you up. You're going to be on the bus for 15 minutes, and either here are your options. So you're going to hear that HRDA is being mean, basically, okay, or HRDA is cutting back some. But those are the types of calls that we've got to stop doing because they're very expensive just to run for one person when there's another option.
I'm quite frankly surprised that with all the money problems HRDA's had, that they haven't looked at that before.
I understand, but they come to us for money,
they come to us for resources to help coordinate better and make better decisions, and then I hear that and I go, really?
So the issue, I think, for us on the executive committee is in working with senior management to try to push and continue to push about saying, what are we delivering? We've got to look at these routes. Part of this has come up. We need better communication between the people who are on the actual phones with the people who are saying, I don't want to do this or whatever. I agree with you, okay? We're pushing forward on it. So to let you know about that, there is the next issue I'd just like to bring up now is that there's going to be a rural development summit that's going to be at the end of March and April 1st that will be at Kirkwood Community College. And I think maybe we should look at sending a team. We have to send three people at $70 per person. It's a one-day or two-day. So we could either just have people drive to Cedar Rapids and come back. But so I just wanted to let you know that I guess that's another thing that I put on the agenda to just see if we'd like to form a team to go about rural economic development. Okay. So I think that's everything. I can't get my window to open again, but okay. Oh, yes. Okay. So I just want to let you know about two things that are happening that I learned about at the executive directors for the AEDC. One is that the Cultivation Corridor, which is kind of the group that's formed from Des Moines to Story County, their Ag Accelerator will be hosting international delegations within the next few months. So it's likely we'll have some of them touring farm operations in Story County. So the request is when it's appropriate to the ADC, et cetera, if we could be informed about that in case we have an opportunity to also hear that. And also for housing starts in Story County, last year was the worst for single family starts in a decade. So as we're pushing to have new housing start, it turns out when they looked at the numbers from last year, it was the worst for single family housing starts in a decade for Ames, at least for Ames, not for Ames.
What was the thought as to why that was?
What I heard a housing person on the board say had to do with what the cost is to build in Ames and around Ames, leaving Huxley out of Sioux City. So that the cost puts that housing price range in where a lot of people aren't. The market may have too many of those on. Okay, people aren't really buying that $350,000 to $500,000. So right, that last year. So we're once again just another emphasis here that we've got to get the housing starts, the price of housing down, and how are we going to do it in Ames where most people want to live. Okay, so that was a discussion just to let you know there about the kind of discussion. That's what I heard on the phone. Okay, so now I'm done. Thank you very much.
So yesterday I attended a community health collaboration meeting at Mary Greeley. There's about 10 of us that are going to be in kind of this work group, kind of identifying what is community health mean. They're starting with just kind of the focus on Ames, but want to be broader, identify for the entire county. So I'm on there. They've got someone from like the chamber, the hospital, the city of Ames, a couple providers, and then they'll look at having some advisory groups as well. So this was our kind of our first initial meeting, and really yesterday was pretty much just spent kind of identifying what is a mission or what does community health mean. You know, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? And how do you, how to kind of mesh that together and give us a little bit of direction. Today I have a lunch meeting on child care, and then we have the directors and elected officials meeting. Tomorrow I have a couple meetings in the afternoon over in Ames, another one being on the child care with the workforce group. Thursday I've got the drug detection meeting in the morning. Friday, I have the Stepping Up Summit, the Mental Health Summit conference call. And then I have a meeting with the Sunny with the Story County Community Foundation. Third time's the charm. We've had to cancel it twice so far, so hopefully that will come through. And then the following Monday, I have the Board of Health leadership class. It's my third class that I will have that night. So I will be missing this week, and they already know, aging resources. They know I won't be down this Thursday since I'll be at the drug detection meeting, but they will call me if I need to, if they need a quorum for anything. And same with Micah. I will miss their class or their meeting on Monday because my Board of Health class for this month happens to fall on that particular Monday. So that's my week.
I'll do a combination of some things that happened since our last meeting and upcoming things. On the 12th, right after, it was after our township trustees meeting, the 911 board met, and they did approve that they would pay $50 or 50%, excuse me, 50% of the tower fees for StoryCom. For the public safety radios. They will do that for fiscal 21. Their goal is to be able to cover 50% through 23, through the time that some of the smaller jurisdictions will still be paying for their new radios for StoryCom, but they only have a budget. They do their budgeting annually, so they have agreed to do the 50% for the public safety radios for the next year, and Lucy said she'd get that information out to the township trustees. Thursday, or was it Friday? Thursday, I was in Slater at the Historical Society. They put on another great event, and they're doing well down there. It is really a great museum that they have there, and I encourage everybody who hasn't been there to see it. Even people from other communities who are on the Historical Society said, this is the best museum we have in the county. They do a great job. And attended the NAACP Freedom Fund on Thursday evening. They had an excellent speaker. Friday, I attended 19th Amendment commemorative celebrations at Memorial Union, the Carrie Chapman Katz Center, and the League of Women Voters of Iowa collaborated to put that on. It was another good event. Then yesterday, I went down to the legislature with the League and the NAACP and the ACLU of Iowa to talk about restoration of voter rights for felons who have completed their sentences. They are looking at a constitutional amendment this year to really get that in the Iowa Constitution. There are some hurdles on that, but I'm very hopeful that that will get done. This afternoon, we have department heads and executive officers. And, Doris, did you say there's an open house this Wednesday on the Nevada Field House?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow.
Wednesday night. Right?
Tomorrow is Wednesday. What time is it?
I believe it's 5 to 7. That's what
did
I
did you get an email?
See, I think where I saw it was in the Nevada Main Street email.
Ah. I was told we would all get an invitation to it. That's why I wondered. I didn't give you.
I didn't see one either. I did not get a separate invitation.
Okay.
I swear
so
I thought.
In that email from the.
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. I'm still bucking against that ever ending message that I have two, you know, megabytes left before my email crashes. So I'm deleting anything I can as soon as I read it.
Okay, then Thursday I'm going over to Toledo for a meeting of the Iowa River Watershed Coalition, which is a new group. My understanding is it's a coalition, it's not a watershed management authority, but the Iowa River Watershed does include the northeastern part of Story County. So I'm going to go over just to see what they might have planned. There may be some resources there that some people in Story can use. And then, is there an AEDC board meeting Friday morning?
Yes, it's on. I saw it on the calendar where you marked, but I have not had time to look at it.
Okay, it's 7 a.m. at REG.
Yeah, and I don't know that I will make that one. I'm going to get that stepping up conference call at 8 o'clock that morning.
I've got that.
So I might be able to.
Okay. I don't, like I said, I haven't had time to look at the agenda.
Okay. And that looks like what I've got for the week then. Okay. Anything else for the good of the cause? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Hedden.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.